Well, if you've had a good afternoon, and it's good to be able to come back this evening. We appreciate the presence of everyone, and it's good to have some nicer weather out in the middle of the wintertime. And I know some of you said you got out and enjoyed some of the weather, and that's always a good thing as well. If you want to turn in your Bible this evening to the last part of Luke chapter 19, as Jesus has come into Jerusalem there, the final week of his ministry before going to the cross, we read a situation there where Luke says, records that he cried over Jerusalem. There's three times in Scripture that talk about Jesus crying, and this is one of those. And he was crying over the spiritual problems of Jerusalem, the spiritual detriment that they were engaged in. And then we find in chapter 19, verse 47, "And when he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people sought to destroy him, and they could not find what they might do, for the people all hung upon him, listening." Look at the word listening. I think listening is an underrated quality of life. We don't give it a lot of attention, but it's actually something extremely important in our lives. One of the versions says that they were hanging on every word that he said. The chief priests and the scribes, of course, they didn't care anything about what he was saying, but the common people, just an average, ordinary individual, the humble individual. Mark says on another account in Mark chapter 10 that the common people heard him gladly. They're just sitting there listening. And that's quite a great quality. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 22 this evening, that'll be our lesson. As we were going through the book of Acts recently, an account of the Apostle Paul, one of the sermons that he's preaching there, struck me as kind of interesting because it's the only time I know of in Scripture where this particular situation is mentioned. There are situations like it, but the only one that I know of that we're going to look at this evening. And it comes when the Apostle Paul is preaching on the steps going up to the Roman Praetorian, and he's giving the account of his conversion. But before we look at that, I remember occasions in life, and maybe you recall some of these, maybe when your parents were calling out to you and they were in the other room and they said your name, so you perked up when you heard your name. And then they start in on some things that they're telling you, and you're kind of half listening to that. But in my case, a lot of times, when Dad said the word work, I tuned out. I wasn't going to listen past that. When I heard the word job, I tuned out. Sometimes there are situations where we're listening until we hear a word that we don't really care for, and then we stop listening. I know I did that. Maybe you did that in your life. We have a similar situation here in Acts chapter 22, and I want to begin the reading. We're very familiar with Paul's conversion here, and he recalls how that he was going to Damascus to bind these Christians and persecute them. And he sees the resurrected Lord. He's told to go into Damascus, and there he would be told what to do. And Ananias meets him. And we're very familiar in chapter 22 and verse 16 about the importance of baptism and washing away thy sins. And that's a very important passage. But let's pick up the reading in Acts chapter 22 and verse 17. Paul is on the steps. He's preaching and recounting his conversion. It's a great sermon recorded here. Verse 17, Acts 22:17. "And it came to pass that when I had returned to Jerusalem, and while I prayed in the temple, I fell into a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, because they will not receive thee, thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of Stephen, thy witness, was shed, I also was standing by and consenting and keeping the garments of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far from here unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and they lifted up their voice and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and threw off their garments and cast dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, bidding that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know for what cause they had so shouted against him. And so this begins events that will unfold all the way out through the rest of the book of Acts, where Paul will be on trial on a number of different occasions. I want to look this evening at the statement found in verse 22. They listened to him up until this word. As I mentioned, when we were going through the book of Acts, this struck me as interesting because we don't read about this much in Scripture. In fact, I think this might be the only place where we read about a situation where folks were listening until a man said one word. And when he said that one word, he stopped listening. They stopped listening. And so the encouragement this evening is, when we're talking about especially matters of God's Word, always keep our ears open. We had a whole series last fall with this matter of listening and keeping our ears open, and that was a very good series. And it's an important thing just to work on listening. Here's a situation where Paul is preaching a great sermon, but he made the mistake of saying the word Gentiles, and this particular audience didn't want to hear that. I want to encourage us to always keep our ears open. And I, like anyone, have to do that. About a month ago, someone shared with me a video where a member of a Church of Christ, he's actually a professor at Freed Hardeman, he was delivering a lesson on how that we're going to come back and live on a restored earth. The earth is not going to be burned up, like Peter said, but we're going to come back and live on a restored earth. And this video was sent to me, and I started watching it, and I'll be honest with you, it was hard to keep listening. When somebody is teaching something that you believe is wrong, it's hard to keep listening. And so I find myself in that situation just like you might find yourself. So we all have to keep listening. If that person has the truth, I'm certainly not going to find it when I shut down. And so what we find here is a very interesting thing, and it becomes an encouragement and an admonition for us this evening, and I hope that it will help us in some kind of way. Look at verse 22. My version says, they gave him audience unto this word. Some of the other versions say, the crowd listened to Paul until he said this. So he started in, and he was talking about going to Damascus, and he was talking about seeing the resurrected Lord. They're listening. And he was talking about meeting Ananias and even being baptized, and they're listening. But when he said the word Gentiles, they stopped. Another version says, the crowd listened until Paul said that word. Another version says, up to this word, they listened to him. You begin to see a pattern here that just one word set them off. Just one thing that was said. They didn't want to listen past that. One version says, they listened to him up to this point. Well, clearly, the situation is it's a group of Jews. And they didn't want the Gentiles to be saved. They didn't like the idea that they were a part of God's plan of salvation. And they're fine when Paul is just telling history and he's talking about geography. I went up here to Damascus. They're all fine with that. And you can just picture in your mind being fine with these things. And he's talking about a guy named Ananias. Well, we're good with that. But he said the word Gentiles. Not words, plural, just one word. Not a sentence even. Not even a little phrase. Just one word. They listened to him until he said one word. And then they didn't want to listen past that. They were so prejudiced in their mind that one word ticked them off. set them off. We always have to keep our ears open. You know, it's interesting when you look at this story that they allowed one word to destroy the effects of a great sermon. Can you think of a better sermon than Acts chapter 22? Can you think of a better sermon talking about what we need to do to be saved? Coming to Jesus culminated in being baptized for the remission of our sins. Here's a great lesson. Here's a great sermon. And to allow one word to destroy the effects of that, what a shame. Think about how many Jews on that occasion could have come to Christ at the end of that. Well, I want to be baptized too. What can I do to be saved? But no, that one word. See? They allowed one word to turn the best teacher into a horrid wretch. Look at the text again in verse 23. I'm sorry, verse 22. They didn't say, well, we don't really like Paul now. They said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. That's a strong statement. We don't want this guy to live anymore. What happened? The great apostle Paul, the man who had made many preaching trips and had traveled over the known world and had traveled thousands of miles for Jesus Christ and had converted many people and established many churches. All of a sudden, this great man is a horrid wretch and we need to kill the guy. How did they turn that quickly? One word. They allowed one word to arouse their passions into a fury. Look at verse 23. And as they cried out and threw off their garments and cast dust into the air. This is not just some folks that are got a little bent out of shape. Boy, they're going at it. One word. And so the lesson for us this evening, brethren, is that when we hear the Word of God, to hear all of it, to listen all the way through. And sometimes it's not even just limited to the Word of God. We're going to focus on that this evening, but it could be any conversation. I'm not talking this evening about sermons only. It could be a Bible class. It could be something outside this building. It could be a text. It could be a conversation. It could be a phone call. It could be an email. Any form of communication that we have with somebody else, especially if we're talking about spiritual matters, will we allow one word to keep us from listening? It's not limited to sermons. It's anything. What about as parents talking to our children? Like when I heard the word job or heard the word work, I tuned Dad out. Would we want our children to tune us out when they hear just one word? Of course not. And so it's a great sermon for us this evening. It's a great lesson for us this evening to always keep our ears open. I want to look this evening at some biblical principles. Biblical principles as to why we need to keep our ears open at all times. It will serve us well. You know, this situation not only happened to Paul. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Do you remember when Jesus was in the synagogue in Luke chapter 4 and he's preaching there? It's a great lesson. But he ran into the same situation. He's in a Jewish audience. He's in a synagogue. And he starts talking about, in verse 25, these widows. There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, but Elijah went unto none of them, but only unto Zarephath in the land of Sidon. So here is a man who goes to a Gentile widow. And verse 27, there were many lepers in Israel in that time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. He's a Gentile. And they were all filled with wrath in the synagogue as they heard these things. And they rose up and cast him forth out of the city and led him unto the brow of a hill whereon the city was built, that they might throw him down headlong. What did he say? What did he say? He just said, a woman of Zarephath and Naaman. That's all he said. And that was enough to get him going. These Gentiles. In John chapter 6 and verse 66, when Jesus was feeding the multitudes and passing out food, they were all happy. But on the next day, when he started preaching about the importance of discipleship and the commitment that is involved in that, the text says, upon many of this, his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They didn't want a serious lesson on discipleship. They just wanted another handout. We just want some more food. Look with me in Acts chapter 7. We're very familiar with Stephen preaching there in Jerusalem. And he's preaching a great sermon. And again, you look at this man and his ability. He's full of the Holy Spirit and the great material that he's preaching, and how that they could have come, just like on the day of Pentecost and other occasions, they could have come and been baptized there in Jerusalem. But they chose rather, verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him. And a few verses later, they stopped their ears. Verse 57, and rushed on him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. What was their problem? Well, verse 51. As long as Stephen was recounting history and just going through the history, starting back in verse 2 with Abraham, and he talks about Abraham and he talks about the Israelites down in Egypt, verse 10, and he goes through how that Moses brought them out of Egypt, verse 22, and all this kind of thing, and they're going through the wilderness, verse 38, they're fine. He's just recounting history. That's all he's doing. But great lesson. Preach on, brother. But he comes down to verse 51 and he makes the application to them. And that's the part they didn't like. And so when he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, when they heard these things, that's when they did what they did. Paul experienced this again on another occasion. Turn with me to Paul in Athens in Acts chapter 17. Paul had been invited to speak on Mars Hill or the Areopagus, and there's these philosophers, the Epicureans and the Stoics, and they're the knowing ones of the day, and he's invited to speak, and so he preaches about the resurrection of Jesus, and then all of the resurrection at the end of time. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat, verse 30 and 31, and so we need to repent. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. All it took was the word resurrection. And we're going to make fun of this. So we find it on different occasions, and the challenge for us is to always keep our ears open. And we want to look this evening at some biblical principles to help us along those lines. We're actually better for it if we will just keep listening. And we'll look at the biblical principles that encourage us along those lines. Paul said the word Gentiles. I want to illustrate this with maybe some other words that could be said. Paul said the word Gentiles. And this Jewish audience didn't like that. Can you think of some other words that somebody might say that where we would stop listening if we heard that word? Can you think of anything else? Well, it depends upon your audience. It depends upon who you're talking to. Paul said the word resurrection, and the Stoics and the Epicureans, they didn't believe in that, so they didn't listen past that word. What if you're talking with an atheist?
If you're talking with an atheist about the weather and your job and sports and things, he'd be glad to listen to you. But if you mention God, he's going to tune you out. Pretty much. Just the word God. Just the name God.
If you're talking with people that believe in evolution, again, they're fine listening until you say the word creation. And by the way, these words that we're looking at here, they're just straight out of the Bible. They're just Bible words. You say the word creation, they won't listen to you much past that point. They've already got it in their mind that we've come about through a long period of evolution. You know, with some people, when you're talking with them, they'll listen to you until you say the word Bible and this next word, inspiration. These are modernists, people who don't believe the Bible is the very word of God. They don't believe in miracles. They don't believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. Many in academia today are this type of individual. And so you're talking with them and you just mentioned something about, well, I was reading my Bible the other day. Look, I'm not going to listen past that point. You talk with people about miracles. You talk with people about anything in the Word of God. If that's not something they want, they're not going to listen past that point. You go to Ephesians 5, and maybe you want to talk about headship and subjection, and there's going to be people that don't want to listen to that. These are words straight out of the text. There's some people that don't want to listen to Jesus Christ. When you talk with your Muslim friends and your Buddhist friends and your Hindu friends, they'll be fine to talk with you. But they don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. And there's someone who comes and works on the copy machine, and I've tried to talk with him before about that, and he doesn't want to listen past Jesus Christ. They don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They don't believe He's the Savior of the world. And so there's no need to listen past that point. So there's a lot of things where you could be having conversations. And again, this is not just sermons. You could be having conversations with people and they just don't want to listen. You bring up hell to some people, straight out of the Bible. They don't want to hear about hell. It's too negative. Now you talk about heaven, everybody wants to go to heaven. But you bring up hell, not interested. You see how words, just one word, just one concept, one idea can cause us to shut down. It's a natural reaction. It's a human reaction. And we've got to push past that if possible and keep our ears open. It is possible, and we can and we should. But you bring up hell with somebody and they don't want to hear that. You just talk about growth, improvement, change, maturity. You bring that up, and people who don't want that, they don't want to hear it. Basically, it's something that somebody doesn't want in their life. And the Jews didn't want Gentiles in their life. They thought Gentiles were dogs. They thought Gentiles were no goods and outcasts, and we don't want to have anything to do with them. And they're listening to Paul right up until that point where he said, Gentile, nope, no more. You know, you bring up the word repent, and some people don't want that. When you're talking about maybe somebody at work or somebody that you're trying to help come to Christ and you bring up something about, well, you're going to have to change your life. Just say the word change. Say the word repent, and they don't want to listen. Bring up baptism. Some people don't want to listen past the word baptism if they believe that you're saved before and without water baptism. Bring up fall from grace. To those people who believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. Just say fall from grace, and they don't want to listen to that. Years ago, an individual wrote a book, Whatever Happened to Sin? This is back in the 1960s. Denominational author, Whatever Happened to Sin? People have gotten away from using the word sin. You bring up just the word sin, and that's uncomfortable to some people. Bring up attendance. Talk about attendance to those who don't attend. Maybe those who've been missing for months. And you bring up attendance or assembling. They don't want to listen. Bring up the word Bible class. Trying to encourage brethren to come to Bible class.
We have great Bible classes here, and we talk about the importance of coming and being present at class. And for those who don't attend Bible class on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, if you try to talk with them about that, they get very uncomfortable. I don't want to listen.
Dancing, drinking, adultery. You bring these matters up, you talk about them, you discuss them. I don't want to hear it. And you bring up biblical principles to talk about these things. Not opinions, not think-sos and traditions, but biblical principles that address these kinds of things. I don't want to listen. I don't want to hear it. To people who are living in adultery, the last thing they want to hear is the Bible word adultery. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that they're in an adulterous marriage. They don't want to talk about that kind of thing. Smoking, drugs, gambling. And we'll listen, but when we hear that word, we just shut down. We don't want to go through that. We don't want to experience that. We don't want to deal with that. The Jews heard the word Gentile, and that was enough to turn off Paul. You know, some people hear the word immodesty. They hear the word false teacher. This happened back in the 90s with our brethren. Back in the 90s, a number of brethren didn't want to hear that anybody was a false teacher. And when somebody would begin to talk about that or bring that up, even just talking about the Bible verses that deal with that, 2 Peter 2 and other passages, nope, I don't want to hear it. Denominations. I've been told multiple times, including by brethren, would you please not preach on denominations and call out denominations, especially from the pulpit? Would you please not do that? I've had that happen. Error, just mentioning the word error, or talking about some error. Homosexual. We're in a society now where you bring that up, we're not going to listen. Don't bring up abortion. Don't even bring up that I need to go to church. There are a lot of people we're seeing where religion has pretty much devolved into what I feel at home, and I don't have to be a part of any kind of organized religion. So when you're encouraging your friend, you know, I'd like to see you come to church someday. When you say the word church, they immediately tune out. They were fine when you were talking about the weather, but when you said church, I don't want to hear anymore. Brethren, we can be better than that. And we're really just hurting ourselves. We may tune out. We may say, you know, I don't want to listen anymore. Nobody's going to force us to listen. But we're just hurting ourselves. And here's why. We want to look at some biblical principles now that tell us to keep listening. We're just hurting ourselves when we shut down. Let's look at the first principle this evening. It comes from the very passage that we've been studying in Acts chapter 22 and verse 21. When Paul said Gentile, these self-righteous Jews who were in a group that said we're saved and we don't need to do anything else, they stayed in that group. They could have come out of that and been a New Testament Christian, just like Paul was willing to leave behind. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was zealous as a Jew, just like they were. And they could have come out of that and been actually saved. But no, with their smug, self-righteous attitude, we're not going to listen to anything Paul is saying past the word Gentile. Well, the problem is, we stay in this situation that we may be in that's not good. You think about all of these people that we might be talking to about some of these words that we mentioned earlier. If somebody is living in an adulterous relationship, they're lost. And they're going to stay in that lost state. Why would we want to remain in a state of being lost, even though we think we're right? Why would we want to do that? The truth can help us come out of that. But we have to listen to it. You know, what's interesting about this sermon that Paul is preaching, look at Acts chapter 22 and back up to verse 14. Paul says, "The God of our fathers hath appointed thee to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth." To know his will and to hear a voice. They could have known the will of God. They could have heard the voice of Jesus. Not the way that Paul did, but through the preaching of Paul. They could have heard these things and known these things. But no, we're going to stay in our group. And it might make us feel comfortable to stay there. But if it's a lost situation, then we're in trouble. Number two. If we keep listening, it helps us to hear the much needed truth. Words are associated with truth in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. If so be that you heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Jesus. If we will keep listening, we will hear the much needed truth. And that's nothing but a good thing. If we will keep listening, we can convince ourselves of the truth that we have. This is interesting. Let's say the person that is speaking is wrong about what he's saying, he or she, or texting, or talking with you over the phone about. Let's just say for sake of argument that they're wrong. Okay? If we would keep listening to what they're saying, all of it, it will actually convince you that you have the truth. And it's a way to test all things. We're to test all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. We're to prove all things. 1 John 4 and 1. And when that individual sent me that video of this man speaking about coming back on a restored earth, he spoke about 30 or 45 minutes. At the beginning of it, you know, it kind of all sounded pretty good. But if you keep listening, you realize, there's a glaring contradiction there to the truth. And here's another glaring contradiction to the truth. But we got to keep listening. And if you do have the truth, then you'll be convinced of it. Because you'll eventually hear where something's not according to the Word of God. Why keep listening? Well, it helps us to better correct the one who is speaking. Let's say, for sake of argument, that the one who is speaking is saying something that's not right. If we truly love them and want to help them like Priscilla and Aquila did with Apollos, we're going to need to keep listening to them so that we know how to help correct them. And if we really want to correct them and help them and make them a better person, then we need to keep listening so that we can know what to say to them in order to correct them. But when we shut down, we're not in a position to help them. We've stopped listening to what they're saying and we don't know what we need to say to help them. I believe Priscilla and Aquila continued to listen to Apollos. When they heard Apollos say the baptism of John, they didn't shut down. They kept listening to what he was saying. And then they got him off to the side later and was able to help him. So if the person we're talking to doesn't have the truth and they need help, listening to them is actually going to make us better in a situation later where we can correct them. We need to keep listening because we want to be a person of settled reason, not a person of excited passions. when they heard the word Gentile, boy, they ripped off their clothes and they're throwing dust in the air. They allow one concept to govern their life. Instead of settled reason, Paul was giving the facts, the settled reason facts of his conversion. Some people don't want to be governed by scripture and settled reason. They want to be someone who's governed by emotional passions that get up into a rage real quick. It reminds me in Acts chapter 19 when, in verse 32, when Paul was preaching, he was talking about how that there is no God but the one true God. And of course, the citizens there of Ephesus that were supportive of the goddess Diana, the false goddess of Diana, they hear that and they get all bent out of shape. And the text says that they're shouting, "Great is Diana, goddess of the Ephesians." And verse 32 says, "Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together." I don't know why I'm here, but I'm in an uproar. Well, who wants to be a person like that? That goes through life stirred up by excited passions rather than settled argumentation from Scripture. I attended a debate one time on tongue speaking and modern day miracles. And the brother was up front debating this Pentecostal, and he was going through sound biblical argumentation on why we don't have tongue speaking today. Just good, sound, you know, all the Greek words and everything. And there were people in the back hooping and, "That's not right, and there's no way." And they're getting all stirred up. They're not even listening to the sound reasoning. They've already got it made up in their mind that we don't want to hear this. And so the substitute for it is, getting all excited about it, we're just not going to hear it. Another good biblical reason why it's good to keep listening is to be fair. Stop and think about it, parents. When you're talking to your kids and you say one word that they don't like, you want them to listen to you all the way through the conversation. If we stop listening when somebody says one word, is that being fair? Is that practicing the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Well, when we're talking to them, we want them to listen all the way through. Yeah, that's right. Well, when they're talking to us, to be fair, shouldn't we practice the same thing? Just common fairness and decency would encourage us to listen all the way through. It's the fair thing. And there will come that day when we're talking about something with our kids, brethren, neighbors, somebody, where we want them to listen all the way through. Let's just be fair. Why keep listening? Turns me to 2 Timothy 3. I've seen this happen before, where a person doesn't want to listen to one word, and then later there's two words I don't want to hear. And then there's three things I don't want to listen to, and then there's four things that I don't want to listen to, and it's a slippery slope. And so what we find then is that we just gradually move away from the truth. I don't want to hear this. There's been brethren that said, we don't need preaching on marriage, divorce, or remarriage here. We don't need that here. And we don't need this, and we don't need that. And what happens is, we just isolate ourselves from biblical truths, and we slowly move away from important spiritual principles. And so Paul talks about that. For the time will come when they are not people out in the world. It's members of the church. They will not endure the sound teaching, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts. Let's get a preacher that'll preach it the way we want to hear it every Sunday. Is what that boils down to. Well, then what does that do? Verse 4, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. It keeps us from turning away from the truth. I always want to listen all the way through. If there is truth here, I want that. And then last of all, to follow the biblical mandate to listen. We're told all throughout the Word of God to listen. When James said in James chapter 1 and verse 19, be swift to hear and slow to speak, he didn't mean by that, be swift to hear only the things that you want to hear. He just said, be swift to hear. That's any topic, any subject, anything from the Word of God. That's the biblical mandate. And in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus said at the end of each of these seven letters, why did he say this? At the end of each of the seven letters, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus, why say that? Wouldn't we automatically be hearing? No, not necessarily. He knows that his children sometimes don't want to hear. At the end of every letter, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And you think about those letters that are being written in the local churches. Look at just the first one, the church at Ephesus. He starts in on that. And just picture yourself in the church at Ephesus when the man shows up, he's got the scroll in his hands, and he's going to read the letter to the church at Ephesus, and he's going to read the other letters too. And you're sitting in the church at Ephesus, and he starts in on what we call verse 1 and 2. And he gives this description of Jesus in verse 1. And they're sitting in the pew going, man, that's some good stuff. Keep reading. And he gets to verse 2, and he says, I know your works and your toil and your patience. And they're like, yeah, this is good. I like this. But then he gets down to verse 4 and 5. Oops, you've left your first love. Oh, I don't want to hear anymore. Heard enough. First two verses is good. You see? So they have to be admonished that if you have ears, you've got to hear even the bad stuff, even the negative stuff. It's the biblical mandate. We all like the positive things. There's no question about that. But from time to time, there are other things that we need to hear. And so the encouragement is this evening to always keep listening. The spiritual blessings that will come from that. Let's not be like those Jews that are so shallow and governed by emotions and feelings that they wear on their cuff. To hear just one word, just one word sets me off. We can be more mature than that. And we can benefit from the spiritual blessings that come when we hear. Well, the lesson is yours. I hope that this will help us in some kind of way. We're going to listen to all that God gives us. And again, not just sermons, but any communication that we have one with another. And that's when the true blessing comes, when we keep our ears open. We're going to sing this song of encouragement. There's a great day coming. And if we will be open to all that God has for us today in obedience to that, we'll be ready for that great day. And if we can help you in some way in responding to the gospel this evening, let us help you do that as we stand and as we sing.